judge in New York threw out a lawsuit that was naming the Saudi Arabians' connection to the crimes of 9/11. And it really gets back to a suppressed 28-page portion of the 2002 congressional report. And we have had on this radio show three different people who have seen it: Walter Jones, Thomas Massey, and, of course, the one and only Bob Graham. Every one of them said, if you were able to read this, it would literally change your mind. Now, there's been an investigative reporter by the name of Jim Bovard. He's become friends of our show. I'm a friend of his. And I love his work. He is one of the guys who has gone out early on the limb and asked about, what are we going to do about this? So here he is, ladies and gentlemen. James, good morning. Welcome back to now not only Denver, but to Colorado Springs as well.
Hey, thanks so much, Peter, for having me back on the air. I appreciate that.
No, I'm a big fan of your work. And by the way, to everyone in the audience, on our website here locally, the governor has named a committee to I guess they're going to be able to name high school mascots. And this is
oh my God!
Yeah, oh no! But anyway, we have the picture. We got this is advanced knowledge of the head of that committee, and his picture is up on the website, 710knus.com. And then I was sent this thing called "I Have No Problem with Islam Except." And it's a really interesting box, and that's up there as well, 710knus.com. So I guess the best place to be, again, just do a quick bios. You've been with us many times before, but there's always somebody new. So, Jim, do a quick bio of yourself, please.
I'm a journalist. I've written 10 books. I'm on the board of directors. Board of contributors for USA Today. I've written for Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and some other places. Lots of federal agencies hate me. So,
welcome to the club. I enjoy that immensely. Let me just back this up. When the commission was put together, it's a congressional joint inquiry, and it was headed up. The co-chairman was none other than Bob Graham. And Bob Graham has declared, and you've written about this, there is compelling evidence in the 28 pages that one or more foreign governments is involved in assisting the hijackers in 9/11. Graham later, and this is your work again, indicates the Saudis were the guilty party. But no one has been able to see those 28 pages, and interestingly enough, we now know the Bush administration resisted, stonewalled not only that, but then the release of the entire report. They waited until after the invasion of Iraq. Speak to the reasoning behind this and your thoughts about that.
Well, if people might be able to recall back in just before the 2002 congressional elections, the George W. Bush administration set up a huge juggernaut to whip up fear of Saddam Hussein and to paint him as an absolute peril to America. Vice President Dick Cheney said at one point that Saddam had nuclear weapons, and then kind of backtracked from that, but he still got the idea out there. It was a complete lie, and it was typical of how the Bush team absolutely conned the American people into war against a nation that was no threat to us. And this is a war that continues to be a Pandora's box, and it cost thousands of Americans their lives. It cost many more Americans their limbs, their peace of mind, their families, a lot of family breakups as a result of all the deployments, and it cost perhaps a million Iraqis their lives, and that part of the world is still in complete chaos, thanks in part to all the lies that the Bush team was telling and pushing on the American people in late 2002 and early 2003. And it would not have helped the Bush propaganda campaign, would not have helped that at all if people learned that, oh, wait a minute, there was some other foreign government who was behind 9/11, because it was, you know, there were all kinds of different, basically scams the Bush team was using to con the nation into war, and one of them was a constant link of Saddam to the 9/11 attacks, even though there was no evidence of that. There was one survey of American troops around a year or two after the U.S. invaded, and I think over 80% of them thought that the U.S. had invaded Iraq as part of vengeance for 9/11.
Well, I've been reading about El Libi, and I've just been drawn to this, and I have enormous amounts of time on my hands, and I have enormous amounts of the ability to access things and the time to sit and read, and that's the only reason I know this. But this El Libi guy who has now come forward, and in the book, The 500 Days, they talked about beating people into telling them what they wanted to hear. And they actually did it. El Libi has now come forward and said that he was snatched and put into a, they called them black prisons. And the one that he was put in was in Egypt. And he was the guy that Bush used to claim Al-Qaeda was linked to Iraq. And El Libi has spoken. He's spoken to a number of different people. And this is what Cheney called the credible evidence. And you hear that from people that still want to defend this idiocy. But he has talked about what was done to him till finally he told them, oh, yeah, and he's a Libyan, by the way. He claimed he knew that there was a link between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein. And they beat him into telling them that. That's, I don't even know what you say about stuff like that, let alone the rest of the lies.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that there are some folks who say that torture is okay because you might find a smoking gun.
Mm-hmm.
What you're a hell of a lot more likely to do is be able to gin up false accusations.
Oh, of course.
Which the government uses then to basically go and kill vast numbers of innocent mm-hmm. people, which is what happened in this case. And that's part of the reason I've been appalled that more Americans have not been mortified as far as when the evidence of U.S. government torture, CIA, and by the military has come out over the last few years. Instead, it's been kind of like, well, you know, it was for a good cause. It wasn't. And it was so often used just to help cover up the lies of the politicians, the government officials, and it's an absolute Pandora's box, and it's a box we have not yet closed.
Why won't, and again, switching to as we speak, why do you believe the Obama administration will also not release those pages?
Looking back at 2008, when Obama was running against John McCain, and John McCain was rattling his saber practically for war against Russia and Iran and 12 other countries, I had figured that I'd expect Obama to be bad on economic policy, and he has been.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought on foreign policy and civil liberties, he'd be a hell of a lot better than George W. He's been so disappointing on those causes, on those issues. I don't know. I mean, I don't. There was a phrase that Lyndon Johnson had back when he was Senate Majority Leader in the late 1950s, and he was famous for arm twisting other senators, and there was one old Southern senator who Johnson said that he had complete control of, and Johnson's phrase was, "I've got his pecker in my pocket." And I don't know what the situation is with Obama and the Saudis or some of the other governments.
See, and I think I have an answer for that. I mean, I am a truther or a birther about Barack Obama. I don't think we have a clue who he is. I think he has managed to absolutely totally control his life story and suppress anything that might go the other way. The Sauds are not fools. And I don't know. I mean, I look at that as a blackmailing moment that you could, if you knew the truth and you were willing to let it go. And the Sauds have enormous power. We've talked about this. And I'm not sure they don't have him. And they certainly are capable. And they certainly have done things like this in the past. But the more you can read around them, and that may be the explanation, I don't know. I mean, I certainly accept your explanation. But they don't seem to worry at all. And the dismissal of last week, where this judge, George Daniels in Manhattan, said the Saudis had immunity and there wasn't any evidence. Well, the evidence lies in the 28 pages, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, certainly some of the evidence lies there, but it's like I was saying last week. Okay, there's 28 pages, which are probably not even the tip of the iceberg.
I agree.
Because there's so much other information, and there were other foreign governments which wanted the U.S. to intervene in the, and to attack Saddam Hussein. And, I mean, there are all these different strings being pulled, and there are U.S. lobbies that were pushing for it as well. And our foreign policy is like, I mean, it seems as if the American people are last in line as far as saying, hey, you know, how about us?
Well, what's interesting to me, and again, because I try and draw charts to connect to things, and that's one of the ways I can try and get sequential thought. But some of these skyjackers or hijackers or murderers that we know about were not necessarily, I mean, they weren't just, people thought they were just Saudi students, and they weren't. They were, and who they were connected to. Is it conceivable the Sauds, who really saw Saddam as a huge and as a great enemy and actually a threat, that they would do a really Byzantine job by being involved in this attack and actually blaming it on Saddam and not understanding what the outcome would be?
As far as not understanding what the outcome would be, that's the part which I glance at.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a number of governments in that part of the world who have done false flag operations.
Absolutely.
And have tried to pull the U.S. into their conflicts and make the U.S. military serve their purposes. And this is part of the reason why it doesn't make any sense for the U.S. to be jumping in there, because the U.S. has been conned again and again by nation after nation in that part of the world. And you know, it's not like our policymakers are all of a sudden going to be savvy enough to figure out the cons.
Well, the two of these, I mean, I've been reading about four of these guys in particular, but one of the guys' name is Khalid El-Mindar and Naif El-Azami, and it's H-A-Z-M-I. They came to the United States in January of 2000. And they were talking, they were meeting with a suspected Saudi spy who was working for Saudi Aviation. His name is Omar El-Bayoumi, B-A-Y-O-U-M-I. And he was a target of the FBI in the 2 years before 9/11. He became a good friend of the two 9/11 suspects. He set them up in an apartment. He was paying their rent and taking care of them. El-Mindar and El-Hazami then moved in with an FBI asset, Absetta Shaikh, who was a Saudi language teacher. And they lived with him for 7 months, and they told people that they were Saudi students, and they were anything but. And this is very complicated stuff, but it's pretty clear 19 of those attackers on that terrible day were Saudi nationals. And
15 or 19.
15 of the 19 were Saudi nationals. And the lives of those people who were the murderers that day, they're not crazy jihadis.
Well, and, you know, part of my exasperation on how the Bush, George W. administration spun the 9/11 attacks was... It was like a phoenix rising out of the ashes.
Yeah.
A phoenix rising out of the ashes. In the 2 weeks after 9/11, Americans' trust in the federal government doubled. People rallied around the government, and it was absolutely the worst time to put blind trust in the government. And looking at the other parts of that 2002 joint congressional investigation, Senator Shelby especially is very blunt about how the FBI just screwed up massively and just. He was amazed at the clues that were missed, the things were not added together, and that's a huge part of the entire narrative. I don't know exactly why that the FBI did so horribly, but this is another reason why we should not be putting blind trust in federal agencies. But if you look at what the Bush administration and Congress did with the TSA, it was like, okay, the answer is to create a new agency and give them unlimited power over Americans. This will make us safe.
Yeah.
But the clearest lesson of 9/11 was it didn't matter how much power the federal government has, it can't keep Americans safe.
Our guest is Jim Bovar. We're talking about 9/11 and investigation. But this fellow, this Ad Setter Saik, who the two hijackers moved in with, also knew this guy by the name of Hani Hanjour. Now, I'm new to all of this. He was the alleged pilot of Flight 77. These two guys move in with this guy, and this guy also knows Hani Hanjour. And this guy, Shaikh, was reported to be a retired professor at San Diego State University. They search for this guy. San Diego State University has no record of him. He was then said to be a professor at American Commonwealth University. That was phony. This is all during, and I don't know what is suppressed in these pages, but I'm being directed by some people that you know where to read and what to look at, and people in the audience can make guesses. But the FBI refused to allow him to be interviewed, viewed, or deposed. He also, what they believe, is one of the guys that got out of the country that day. Now, think about that. I mean, and I got some fairly interesting people talking to me. But the FBI tried to prevent his testimony. He had a handler, an FBI handler, who also, again, so they gave, apparently we're told that the FBI gave Saik $100,000 and closed his contract, and he disappeared.
What?
That's true stuff. I mean, it's like I look at this and it's chilling.
What's the source on that last point? Because that's striking. I'm just wondering, well, is that?
There's a couple different pieces. One, Saudi Arabian sovereign immunity from 9/11 damage claims, judge rules.
Okay.
And there's a Washington blog. Kevin Ryan is my source on that to go look at.
Okay.
And there's another piece. Saudi Arabia sovereign immunity from 9/11 damage claims. And the other one is why Saudi ties to 9/11 means U.S. ties to 9/11 from the 9/11 guys. And I've been reading this stuff at night, and it's chilling. But again, there's these two guys, and I can't pronounce Arabic names, but it's Al, A-L, last name spelled M-I-H-D-H-A-R, and Al-H-A-Z-M-I. Now, they were jackers. And
right.
they moved in with, and they came in 2000. And they moved in with this guy, A-B-D-U-S-S-A-T-T-A-R, last name S-H-A-I-K-H, who was said to be a teacher of Saudi language. He allowed them to live in his home for 7 months. And saying later, he said, who did they think? He said, well, I just thought they were Saudi students, which is very unlikely. Then this L. Bayoumi, B-A-Y-O-U-M-I, and see, they knew a guy, and his name is Hani, H-A-N-I-H-A-J-O-U-R. He was the alleged pilot of Flight 77 when they took it over. And then this other guy, Sahik, ambassador, I don't know how he pronounces it, he was reported to be a retired professor at San Diego State University. The university has no record of him. He then to be
right.
a professor at American Commonwealth. Those were phony. And he is now, the FBI refused to have him interviewed for the 9/11 commission. Remember, they hid people from people.
Well, yeah, and the most important thing is that they're still hiding most of the evidence from you and I.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And a couple hundred other million Americans.
Yeah.
And part of the lesson I draw from this is that there's no reason to trust the government on foreign policy. I mean, if the government looks like it's doing something stupid, it probably is. I mean, such as Syria. So
what are we watching? I mean, why would, if we were to know those 28 pages or read those 28 pages, assuming that these are Republicans, these are conservatives, Walter Jones and Thomas Massie, and there are some of the, there are very few people, as you point out, who read the report. They claim what they read shocked them what they read. I'm going to take a quick turnaround, Jim.
Okay.
Come back and tell me what you would think is in those reports. And again, I'm telling you guys, you can read this stuff. Who these people are, but we, I guess, maybe it's so much more worried about the Kardashians.